All right, just to recap where we were. The question on the floor is, why this bizarre idea of writing on three sets of stones, Kol Torah Kula, in 70 languages? What a massive gargantuan effort. And explain, the Ramban says, because the essence of the state of Israel is a spiritual growth. That's why Cain and Hevel fought over it. That's why the Kuni writes that the water was not guaranteed. It was dependent on rain. The core of it was for spiritual growth. So I have here a printout of the Hatikva, at least the first two frames of the Hatikva, and then I have next to it the translation, the original Hatikva as it was written by Naftali Hertz Imber. And if you look at the original, Kolo Belevo Pnima, as long as it's in our heart, Nefesh Yehudi Homia, the Jewish soul yearning, Lefasi Mizrach Kadima, and onwards towards the end of the east. I am the Tzion Sophia, the eye gazes towards Tzion, towards Yerushalayim. Od lo of the Tikva Seinu, our hope is lost. Tikva Basnos Alofim, Alpayim, 2,000 years, Leos Am Chafsi Biosein, to be a free nation on land, Eretz Tzion Yerushalayim. But if you look at the original, I think it was in the 1880s, Naftali Tzvi, who's Romanian, when he wrote it, the original last refrain is that, Lo of the Tikva Seinu, Ha Tikva Hanoshana, the ancient hope, Loshav the Eretz of Seinu, to return the land of our fathers, the year where David Chana, where David Amelech encamped. The notion of the relationship between the Jew and the land of Israel was never based on freedom, looking to be a free land. And if you want to understand the dramatic struggle over the centuries, over the last century, between the religious right and the secular Jew over Israel, it's on those frames. Because the question is, by what right do you return to the land of Israel? The secular Jew turned it into the idea of looking for a free land, and the Ramban says that's the entire reason why Kol Torah Kula was written on those stones, precisely because they did not want that. They did not want. It's not about a free land. It's totally on their shoulder. That's why the Pesukim in this week's parsha make it clear. If you don't keep the Torah Kula, I'm going to throw you out. You're going to go out of Israel. And that's what happened. When the Jewish people didn't keep the Torah, that's the goal. Because
I think in Parshat Achrayim also it talks about, if you don't, okay, then it's more specific, it says V'tikma Aretz, right? And the parish says, what does that mean? The land will expel you if you're not...
That's where the Shemitah, talking about the Shemitah or in general?
I think it's something else. I think it's Perek Yitzchad, not far than it's separate. Because I always focus, that the Ramban on that is very interesting. Controversial Ramban.
So were the other languages for the Jews, or the other languages?
So that's a very interesting question. So I assume it's for the Jews, because if the whole message of the Ramban was that you're in Israel because you're tied to the Torah, it's for the Jews. Although I don't shot myself. I think the first Rashi Bereishis seems to learn that it's there because they get clear. In fact, Rashi, the first Rashi Bereishis starts with, he says the Torah starts with Bereishis. You really don't need the history of the creation of the world is not necessary for it. But as a Jew, and he says that it was there to let everybody know that the God who created the world gave the Jews the land. So it's almost like a statement, the Jews are entitled to it because of Torah. And certainly a plausible shot, but Ramban doesn't seem to learn like that. Ramban seems to learn it's because of the Jews. Why 70? Because there's no way out. All 70 languages, you know, historically, I don't know where that comes from, the idea there were 70 original languages seems to be a common thing in Chazal. And that it's yours only because of Kol Torah Kula. And when you don't keep it, you lose it. And which also, of course, brings the other question, the other issue, which Scott last week talked about, you know, but the punishment. It's very hard to accept. It's almost hard to read, you know. The Kleisenberg wrote, when he saw this parsha, I think he lost his entire family in the Holocaust. After the war, he was in shul, and the Balkori was reading this. He told him to stop it. So I'm stop reading. raise his voice, because he said there's not one clone he didn't experience. But not one of these clones, which is fascinating. Can you tell me another instance of a public document written, they just proved it's 2,000 years old, they're coming around, that we have 3,500 years that has a Nebuah that actually was proven to come true. I don't believe there's another example in all of human literature that has a prediction of something that is so striking that absolutely was proven to come true. There's no example like that. And again, the holographic, the x-ray reading of that scroll goes back 2,000. They proved it's exactly as we have today, 2,000 years. Okay, at least the words that they checked.
Right.
And we know it goes back 3,400 years.
What? Which scroll is this?
They found some scrolls that
had been burned.
That had been burned. They couldn't read. It was in the was on the news channels this week. CNN, BBC. And what they did is they developed this extra technology that allows them, I can't imagine how to do it, to actually read the scrolls that were charred. They couldn't touch them. They fall apart.
Right.
Charred. And when they proved that's 2,000 years old. So, but we know it goes back further. But give me an example of anything written 2,000 years that makes a prediction that strikingly came through. Nothing like that.
So they were able to read the words, though, from the scroll?
Yeah, wow. Actually pictures of it.
Wow.
Which is, you know, it's mind-boggling what we're finding, right?
It's amazing. That's how what the technology goes through the burnt parchment and is able to pick
it's
out
beyond,
the ink.
You look it up. It's worth looking at. It's beyond
extraordinary.
That's how they're going to find, all the, you know, these stones will be found. You see how technology is uncovering all of these remarkable ideas. So just the idea is that Kolotokul is written as a prophecy, and it happens because the reality is the Sanjay Gayan, he reduced his, he was living before the Rambam. He had three basic principles of Torah, right? His Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofus. Malchus is there's a God. Zichronus is this Arvionish and Hashkacha practice, right? And Shofros is it's Torah Minishim, right? But Schar Yonish is the essential idea of Torah, and it's hard to accept. There's a Rashi. I think I mentioned it. I think I mentioned it in Shira a week or two ago. There's a Rashi in Parshas Noach. The Rashi says that when the flood was coming, Noah didn't want to go into the table. Until it literally goes, when the water was above his neck, he ran into the table. Rashi always troubled me. So Rashi says he was Ketani Yamun. He was small in belief. So Chevron, tell me what that means. A man spent 100 years of his life building a boat. Think of the social relationship with his neighbors. Right? Think of this, trying to get a shidduch for his daughters. Right? Unbelievable. He couldn't find it. So after 100 years, you only spent 100 years of your life, become a social outcast. God tells you it's about to get into the boat, and you don't go because you don't believe. You believed enough in God's voice to pull the start, but you're not going to get into the boat. I had trouble with that. I really had trouble with that. Yeah. So once I was when my mother-in-law used to live in Muncie, I came from Yeshiva one day, and I used to attend Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's classes. And he was giving a class, and he said, "Pshat Net Rashi." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "What Noah couldn't accept was that because of their various, all of humanity would be destroyed." The idea that God's going to destroy the world—that is a very. I remember as a kid, I once saw a movie. I don't know about the end of the world, a nuclear war, and the desolation. Just imagine. You know,
on the beach?
What?
On the
maybe
beach?
That was it, right? I think it was a little kid, I remember seeing it. Can you imagine what that's like? We learn about Kaddish Baruch as a God of Chesed. What is this? So I asked Rav Yaakov in the Talmud, but he says he was Tani Amuna. So he said back to me, "Do you think Amuna is only belief in God? There's a God and a person is Schar V'Onesh, and there's reward and punishment, and people are responsible for their actions." That's a fundamental idea of Amuna. That's what he says. That's one of the three principles of Sadhya Gaya. So this whole parsha is built on the idea that ultimately people are responsible. And that's what's being conveyed here. It's not just about God's punishing because you're bad. The whole idea of life is that we have a job to do. If you don't do the job, there's consequences. That's a very basic idea of Yiddishkeit. And what is amazing is that, again, if you didn't believe in Judaism and you knew nothing, you had no Masorah from a parent, you know, but you looked at the history of the times, how could you not be a mamid? It's just a mind. Just reading the parsha and see the history and see what happened and see how it was predicted 1,000 years ago, there's nothing more striking than that. And the idea of being kavei, going back to Israel, so the struggle, look, you know, I'm certainly sympathetic to this Zionist movement, but not separate from Torah, because there is no, you know,
they go together. There are also people from around the Torah side who deny, you know, I want to get into the, you know.
No, this wasn't about the politics. It was just, as this is shot in the Torah, the way the Ramban learns it. You know, the whole idea that you have to write three times because the Kodesh Baruch Hu understood. There will be a time when you're going to try and separate Torah from Eretz Yisrael. There's no separation. The Jewish people are people because of the Torah. Without the Torah, there's nothing.
Then there's the argument that we have. Some people count the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. Some people don't count Yishuv.
Yeah, that's a technical question. It counts as a mitzvah. Certainly not a bad thing. The Gemara says Misha Shedor Bechutzlos Ein Lo Elokim Misha Ein Lo Elokim. Like he has no God.
Ein Lo what?
Ein Lo Elokim. Like he has no God. And Ramban says all them keeping the mitzvahs out of it's a Rashi actually. Rashi says it. Exactly shot in that Rashi needs some clarification. But a person who has to keep the mitzvahs out of Israel, so practice when you get back to Israel, as though it's not real, right?
It's the Ramban.
It's the Ramban. Rashi quotes that, right?
That's what he says. In this word, Vatik Ma'aretz, he says, it's all practice.
Okay. I don't think he means that, because Lamai Halach Lamai is we pass him anything that any mitzvah that Shibabuf doesn't depend on the land. Right. So exactly, Pshat, that needs clarification. But the whole idea that living in Israel is good. So that's a technical question, you know. I always think it's silly to get hung up about this, that. You know, these are tactical questions that really don't, in the scheme of life, don't matter. But the idea that the land of Israel was designed for the spiritual growth of Jewish people, and that's why everyone understands that. That's the heart of the world. That's because I'll say Adam Rishon was created from the ground at the point of the Beis Hamikdash.
Was it designed for the spiritual growth of Jewish people or people in general?
Well, from the Jewish people and then from the whole world. Because I'll say if the Goyim would understand how important it was, they would be the first to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, right? So obviously there's a strong relationship there. So, you know, you read the parasha, you walk away and say, oh, I understand. And this Harvey Omish is part of, you know, is part of Lance asked me afterwards to give a talk, so I'll discuss that Rambam, but I think we read all the time, but of course I have a feeling we don't really understand it. So, you know, I'm taking a kind of classic approach to that Rambam. Okay, that's the first point I wanted to talk about tonight, which is really just fascinating. And just the effort that went into it to communicate this idea to me was fascinating. Second point I'd like to talk about, a concept that's not foreign to us that we've talked about, it's at the end of the parsha, the Torah makes the point, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, let me read the pasuk. I think it's a Shvi. Okay, yeah, short, almost at the end of the parasha, just a few seconds from the end. Just a few seconds in. The pasuk says like this: Moshe Rabbeinu calls the Jewish people together. You saw everything that happened. And it says, "V'non losan Hashem lochem leiv l'das." And Hashem did give you the heart to know, v'naim l'ros, and eyes to see, v'naim l'shmoa, and ears to hear, ad yom hazeh, until this day. So everyone wonders, what is that pshat in that pasuk, right? Rashi says, "L'hakir is chazdei amokum l'idobik bo ad yom hazeh." Okay, so you know, he quotes a medrash that day they gave the Torah to Bnei Levi, and the Jewish people came and said, "What do you give to Bnei Levi? What about the rest of us?" Now they're going to claim it was always theirs, you know, in rivalry. So my Rebbe had a shmooze here. He said, was the odds of that? So I don't know. I'm wondering. I don't think, considering what goes on, maybe it wasn't so light. But he thought it was very far-fetched. He says that when a person worries about things that are far-fetched, that shows him he has real concern. That's how he lived shot. But I want to write to you the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma learns a little differently. He says, and he has this Akshita throughout the old Chumash. He says, what was the struggle of the Jewish people in the Midbar? The struggle of people was, sure there were miracles, everybody sees that, but for who? It's for Moshe. They understood who Moshe was. They had a full appreciation. Some of the amazing miracles, this is all for Moshe Rabbeinu. And Ramban actually takes the same position in many places that you saw it in Ramban, through many of the stories. Their struggle was, okay, without Moshe, we're lost. And what Moshe attempts to communicate to them is, you don't understand, we're just messengers, it's for you. The idea that all the Nisim were Klal Yisrael, that is a very difficult idea. In fact, Ramban learns, one of the reasons where you know why Moshe got so strongly punished when he hit the rock, he says, because, again, it looked like he did the miracle. He's the Baal Mokar. It's all through him. That was counterproductive. The whole idea of the struggle of the Jews, hey, this is for you. It's the average Jew. You know, I told you that story. My Rebbe, my father's Rebbe, Reb David, once had a Talmud in the yeshiva. And this is the 1930s. He was an extraordinary Talmud Chacham. I mean, he was really one of the great people of the 20th century. Not well known. And he was trying to convince him to become a rabbi, to become a rav. You know, learn yeshiva, become a rav. He says, why should I become a rav? You know. I'm not going to accomplish anything, you know. Who will I be? I'm not going to. Mashiach will come, and then what's going to happen? All the great Gedolim of the past years will come, right? They'll come, and I'm going to be a nothing. So David says, no, they'll have their kahilas, and you have your kahilas. You have to chiyus amazes. You'll have your own congregation.
Right.
Says at chiyus amazes, the great people will come back. Then my congregation would be coming back. So David says, if their Balabatim won't come back, they'll be there and they'll be stuck. He says, if their Balabatim not coming back, they're not coming back either, he said to him. Right? It's all about the Jewish people. There's no, we have this notion, which is fed in one of the points of departure between the religious approach and learning and the Hasidic approach is we don't believe there's somebody else in the middle. It's about us. You don't need a rebbe. In fact, it's for you, and that's a very hard idea. There's no mouth face, there's no tzaddik who you're going to go to. It's about you. It's not about it. In fact,
but it's interesting that through all the years, the people still look for an intermediary like Moshe, almost.
It's a very hard to see yourself in that way. Very hard to see yourself in that way. That was the struggle according to Meshach Chachma. How do you see yourself in that way that this is for you? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared to do this. Right? In fact, Meshach Chachma has a very fascinating discussion. You find Moshe, Rabbeinu, was called Chol Beisi Nemanu, Abdi B'Moshe, my Eved Moshe. He's called the Eved Hashem, which is a great compliment. Being an Eved Hashem means I did, you know, because the struggle of religious life is what we want to do. So many of the systems that develop in Jewish life because we do what we want to do, not what Hashem wants to do. And taking ego out of anything is almost impossible. Very, very challenging. Right? Very challenging. And you find how many times Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron did exactly what Hashem wanted. The shvach is they added no. Everyone likes to add their own knesh. You know, it's like, oh yeah, but I need his little signature at the bottom, right? That's the nevera. That's a chait. So he says, but Yeshua, who's one of the great leaders in Jewish history, it's only at the very end of the Sefer calls him Abdi Yeshua. And the Meshach questions why. He was the most devoted disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu. 40 years and he never moved. Okay, I mean, the Torah is not known for exaggeration, right? So what does that mean? So he says, because once in his life, Meshach Rabbeinu, just his hashkafa, once in his life, he called someone else an Adon, a master. You remember the story? And Eldad and Medad were being Misnabe and the Machah, they were prophesizing the camp. What did Yeshua say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Adoni Moshe, my master Moshe, climb, destroy them.
Right.
You called Moshe your master? Nobody's your master. Which is an amazing story, because there was no greater man, no human being who came close to Moshe. And he was his master, and he was learning everything he knew. He can learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the master of all masters. But you can't call somebody else a master. That's not the Jewish relationship with God. I think it's one of the most striking thoughts in terms of individuality of the Jew, the individual relationship we have and who we are in that story. So here also, Moshe Rabbeinu says, now I understand what was happening about this day, because this was the day Moshe was going to die, and the Jews are still going to Israel. But there's a Jewish existence without emotion that they didn't know till today. That's the Meshech Chacham learns. Only today, and today there's not going to be emotion, and still we're going to go into Israel and all the Nisa and all that's going to happen. That's when the Jewish people realize they have an existence. But all the struggles Moshe Rabbeinu to communicate that these Nisa are for you. These miracles are for you. This is what it's all about, right? So I think that's the.
But the man was stopping when they left, right? The man.
Yeah, the man. They no longer needed it. They came to a place that was that had food. Right?
Because there must have been some element though of we're leaving this comfort zone when Moshe he's provided.
Yeah, he says that's true. Look, there's no question that. But the struggle is you're running. For instance, one of the reasons. What was the reason for the Egel Azov?
Mm-hmm.
Without Moshe, you're
right.
Lost.
Right.
That's a mistake.
Right.
You don't depend on Moshe. As great as he was, you got a Shvarach.
Yeah.
That idea is what was lost. That's what drove the Avera. And Bon, I think, learns that way. The idea that you have a need. You don't have a need. Because Shvarach doesn't take care of you. You don't. That's a very difficult idea. I mean, it's true even today. Everybody's running for a rebbe. That's not the way the Jew operates. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is the rebbe. You don't need more. Doesn't mean that Tzaddik can't give you advice and you can learn from him. But he's not your adam. He's not your master. Kaddish Baruch Hu takes you. He doesn't take care of you. All these books and all these stories. Yeah, it's true that, but it's not the. That's not how Meshach lives. The Etruscan gets around him. Sometimes Davin and Shul. So he makes the joke. That famous Hasidish leader, the Meshach Chachma. You know, was turning over. You know when he. Hears that. He says it's a joke. I think I was the only one in the shul who got it, but that's not the way to look at it. It's really about ourselves. You're going to.
So why is Moshe waiting for the very end? What if this is so? If this is such a fun
last day of his life?
No, I understand that. So why didn't he say this? Let's say after the Egel is up. Why didn't he make the same thing?
Everything, all of his structure was that. It's for Klal Yisrael. That one, you know, it's one thing to hear something, nothing to believe it. You know, we all operate on two levels, right? We know what we're supposed to do, but we don't. If there's someone here who listens, I'm going to speak about that, you know, in the last 15 minutes. But that's a very hard to accept. That you're out in the desert, you have no food, and a customer is going to send you food from the Shemayim, even without a Moshe Rabbeinu.
So it took them 40 years.
This is the last day of his life.
Right, but I'm saying, so it took them 40 years to.
Well, you can argue even then they fully
incorporate the idea and let's say fully
saw on some level. Yeah.
Right, but now after 40 years, now it's all over because now they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be on their not on their own, but they're
no,
going to
not because that because if they see with that Moshe Rabbeinu, they're going to survive.
Right.
Remember, Yeshua was not Moshe Rabbeinu as great as he was.
Uh-huh.
Moshe Rabbeinu was. It's hard to describe. I mean, it's, from our perspective, he's the more angelic than human, right? But that was his struggle. That was the struggle. Even that struggle today, I think the biggest struggle for all of us. And I'm gonna stay preview. I'm gonna save shot. You know, when the Gemara says Gemara Brachas, it's right before Hashanah. It says, you know, a person sees Yeshua in Bayan life. He's finding difficulty in life. You mashmish ma'isa, you should search the things, or you mashmish. The difference is, according to the first tribe, you search what you've done, double check your way of behaving. Otherwise, even with what you've done, even when you think you did a good thing, was it really all good? Maybe there were elements of self-aggrandizement involved. But I say people make a mistake. They think the pshat in that is that, okay, God's hitting you, you better shape up, right? There's another element. All this is designed to make you, the whole reason it's happening is to get you to wake up. And that's why people make a mistake. It's not that you got hit because you did bad. You got hit because the Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't want you to do bad. There's a very important difference. All of the Nisim that's Ryan Chazal say to get part of the Tshuva, everything was there. Kaddish Baruch Hu could have wiped his mouth in a flash. This entire demonstration over months, and considering all the suffering of the Jews all that time, was because the Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't want anybody to die. He wants to do the Tshuva. So the idea is, understand who you are, because God's talking to you. Mida connected Mida, the idea is, and within what happens, actually you can find actually why, where your area of improvement needs to be. That's the fundamental idea of Rosh Hashanah. And people make a mistake, they think it's, you're bad, you got hit. No, you got hit because God doesn't want you to do bad. It's a very, you know, it's a subtle, but very important difference in how you look at the world, right, what happens in the world. And based on that, that's why. It didn't rain because God sends you a message, right? That's how it's Israel. It's not punishment in the sense of you did bad. It's messages.
Is that more like a warning?
What? Because God cares about you. He cares about us. We're here for a reason to succeed. If we don't succeed, because God has failed to have those in some level. Because God cares about you. That's what Moshe Ben is talking about. You understand? You're very important to this world.
How do you separate, though, that from like Gamza Latova?
No, because whatever happens, Kaddish Baruch Hu means we're good. But again, we talked about 2 weeks ago. Because since God's watching you and everything He does is for your benefit, even though you don't see the whole perspective,
right,
things that to you, I told you, I quoted the Vilna Gaon, an amazing quote. He says, tomorrow you cry for things that made today made us laugh. And tomorrow you laugh on things today made you cry.
Right.
What a change of the world. Right. Who thinks that way, right? That's not the way we look at the world. You had a bad business deal, somebody gets sick. We don't, as human beings, because I'm saying, when Dovin HaMelech made a bracha, on Baruch Dynamics, it was the same simcha, when he made a Shechiyon. That's who these people were. That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to deal with, right? That's what they meant. That's what they meant. All right, okay, let's break here.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep this on because my son has been recording this. Although, it doesn't look like I'm getting an introduction, so maybe we should keep it on. What do you think we should do?
People will do it. I think that unless someone goes up there, people just keep learning.
So this is the whole part. There's
another one in. Unless you have like some great desire to get out there.
It's okay, let them learn. Unless they interrupt me, I'll tell you have the pshat.
That was the original concept.
So it's very fascinating, the Rambam, and I love doing this. I find so often that I revisit issues that seem simple. It happens to me virtually every week in a Rashi. Things I thought I understood, they say I really have no clue what they really meant. So let me read this Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva that all of us have seen many, many times, and I think we missed the point. So this is in Perek. Okay, and I'm going to read it for you. Apalpi, even though Shetkiyas Shofar Rosh Hashanah, even though Tkiyas Shofar Rosh Hashanah is a Xeris Akasuf, Remez Yeshba is a hint. Chomer, Uri Yeshena Mishanaska. Wake up, you sleepers, from your sleep. Near Domim and your deep sleepers, slumberers, Akitsu, get up, Mitirdas Masaka. From your, I guess, really, you know, deep sleep, whatever that is. The Chivshu B'mai Seichem, the Chazu B'tshuva, and turn in Tshuva Zichubarach, and remember your Bore, your Creator. Okay, and he goes on, and these are people who forget the truth in life. The yotzel, you low yotzel, and the things that you do in life are not going to help you. You waste your time. Look at your hearts, look in your souls, and improve. And then he says towards the end of this halacha, he says, The fikach, therefore, this is the quote we've all seen a million times. Sarah Kaladim, every person has to be Shayir Asma Kalashana Kula. He should see himself the whole year. Kilu Chetzi Zaka and Chetzi Chayev. He's always half alive. You know, you've all heard this, right? And then he said, Chen Kaladim, Kaladim, all the whole world. Chetzi Zaka and Chetzi Chayev. Kotta Cheta, you do one in Avera. Ari Achrias Asma Kaladim Kula Kav Chavra. The Gram Lars Chasa. So if you did one sin, you and destroyed yourself and the world, right? If you do one mitzvah, okay? That's the chazal. We all heard it, right? It's not easy question. Person's about on the execution. The guy's pulling a gun and he's pleading his case. You really think he's going to press him to say, oh, and by the way, if you do the right thing right now, you won't miss it, the whole world will be saved? I don't know. I really have my doubts. I think in the person who's killing Moses don't feel it. But if you really felt your life was on the line, or you, God forbid, a close family was on the line, the next step you take, you think telling, oh, the whole world's also going to. I mean, I once, you know, when I was in Russia before the last dance, I was in a young man's apartment, and we knew the KGB was following me, and I heard a knock on the door, and I actually could see, you know, the line of blood just going down his face. I've never seen that in my life. He was so frightened, I could see the blood.
Oh, really?
I actually saw it go down to his face.
Right.
He thought the kid was coming to get him.
Right.
Right? It's something that you never want to see again. Understand? So I think if they told me, and by the way, the whole world depends on what you do next. I don't keep on moving. So I understand, looking at the shot. So you're telling me, get up because it's not just you. And you's not enough? Your life is not enough? You're on the line? I mean, if you feel it.
Right.
If you don't feel it, so you're going to feel the whole world. What is the shot over here? So I end this question. So it occurred to me, because I was really asked, what's the single most important thing you need in Rosh Hashanah? So I say, I think people misquote that. And I actually found a raya, a proof to myself, at least from something Rav Gifter learned, how does shot in this all? Because he asked the question. He says, and everyone, after he talks about, you know, should wake up from your sleep, he says, habitu after seichem, look at yourself. What do you have to do with anything? He said, look at what you did wrong. You know, what is the nonsense? He says, really, what you should look at is understand, who am I? What am I doing here? What am I doing with myself? It's really about who you are. The reason we blow the shofar is not to say, oh, wake up, you better do tshuva. Understand, do you know who you are? What are you doing? That's, in my opinion, the single most important thing you walk through Rosh Hashanah. The shofar is not to scare you into doing tshuva. The shofar is making you wake up. Who am I? You have a sense of self. I once read the Goethe, the German philosopher, said, if you treat a person as though he were what you think he's capable of, you'll help him become what he thinks he can become.
Right?
And then Shlomo HaMelech says initially, go mafshu shkas, treat yourself like a, you know, German person. We don't treat ourselves with our cherets. We don't treat ourselves well. So the pshat, that answers my question too. And I'm surprised that Gifford doesn't answer my question, but I think it's a valid question. The pshat is not, the reason why you tell the guy the whole world depends on you, he asks the question, why say the guy, look at yourself like you're Russia, so you'll do better? It's not the point. It's not getting better. But do you understand you can change the world? That's the point. It's not because to make you get afraid, oh, I better do great. Your life's on the line. It's about the idea that what you do or your behavior impacts the whole world. That's a statement of the human being that is really remarkable. That's the pshat, I think, in this.
That puts a lot of responsibility.
Tremendous. It's about who you are.
About that.
What was that?
I say, you think about the amount. Now all of a sudden, you have so much. The weight is on.
No, but maybe you should think who you are. Maybe that you should reevaluate what you think you are. That it's about what's being communicated here is not what people think. Wake up, otherwise you're in trouble. It's being communicated. Wake up. What you're doing is not consistent with who you are.
Right.
And understand who you are. That's a very different idea. And I think that answers my question. I was surprised Rav Gifter, the Chum of Rav, did not answer my question. He pointed out by Nafshe, look at who you are. But he doesn't ask my question, okay, do I really need to communicate to half the world? Is that going to impact? You could argue, I guess, with me, and certainly, you know, I'm open to that, but I don't think so. I really don't believe a person whose life is on the line, and one word from the judge goes in, say, oh, and by the way, the whole world's on the line, not just you. Oh, okay, now I'm going to remember my life, my kid's life, my family's life. Oh, I'm that. But now the whole world, my neighbor who I hate, oh, now I'm going to behave. I don't think it works that way. I think it's really about communicating this Ramadan community, who we are. And that's really, if you want to walk into Rosh Hashanah and say, hey, you know, I can have a tremendous impact on the world. And that really is a tremendous motivation in terms of who we are, what we do, and how we move forward. A few minutes early, but I have nothing to say.
But that seemed to tie into what you talked about last week about Selam Elokim.
It's really a central theme of Yiddishkeit.
Yeah.
Central theme of Yiddishkeit, more than any other idea, is the self-appreciation of who we are.
Yeah.
And that's really what the Rambam's point is. The shofar blows is, I can't behave that way. That's not me. Look at my responsibilities. You know, I have this great shmooze of my own by Noah. Yeah, I might repeat again when I get to Noah. So maybe we'll be lucky. I'll be lucky. You guys will forget it by then.
Not a problem.
So, you know, all the Mepharshim comment. What's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu? Noach and Moshe and Avraham Avinu, and right? You know, Noach didn't save his generation. Avraham Avinu, you know, the Moshe Rabbeinu. These Gedolim, they saved. I said, what's the comparison? I'm like, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was an appointed leader, right? What's the matter? Noah, he was just a nice man who tried to do the right thing, became a great tzaddik. What do you? Because the Medrash makes the comparison. It's like two people in a ship. One captain saves the ship and saves his people. The other one saves the ship and nobody survives except for him. So it's not fair. In one case, you appointed the captain. The Kodesh Baruch comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. He made him the captain. Your job is to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Noah, nobody made me captain here. I got stuck building a boat. Right? It was a big job. So what are you talking about? It's not fair.
Right.
So how do you pshat in Medrash? So when I learned the Medrash, I thought about it. And I think the pshat in Medrash is whether you know it or not, you're the captain of the boat. And that's the part that we're talking about. You have tremendous responsibilities to your community, to your family, to the Klal Yisrael, to the whole world. And that's really the central idea of Jewish life. You have responsibilities, and whether you like it or not, you're the captain of a boat. You know, some of us have bigger boats, some have smaller boats, some have larger boats, but then you're captain of a boat, and not realizing this that was the claim against Noah. You didn't have not appreciate it, not understanding that. That's really his stand. All right, Heber. Bad enough we're competing with Sunday Night Football. Well, I don't want to compete with Trump and the third also tonight. All right.
Okay.
Let's break here, Heber, okay?
Thank you.
I'm not going to see you next week. Next week is Rosh Hashanah. So have a Ksivus in Tov, a good Kibbutz Shor. Healthy, happy year, Mr. Hashem. We will be benched.
Wednesday night.
This Wednesday night we'll learn, yeah, Mr. Hashem. We have a Sefer in Minchas Chinuch, we have a Sefer. All right, good to see you.
And Shabbos too.
The Shabbos will learn. Yeah, join us if you can. Yeah, we'll get you into it. Yeah.
It's a great class.
As you see, we have wide ranging discussions. Yes. You know.
Where are you up to?
We're on actually Lamed Vav, towards the bottom of Lamed Vav at Aleph. We struggled a little bit because some of the discussions were a little complex, as Shai alluded to. But there's a lot of Haggadot. Also, we have pretty much, Baruchas is, in that respect, is very helpful. It's very wide ranging in terms of topics.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, we were in the middle of the brachas of Adama or Eitz, but that was sort of a little bit of a detour in halachas of Orla.
Okay. Have you gone straight through for the Lamed Vav?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's only been, only took four or five years now?
Halfway
through. We don't go too fast. You know, we cover ground, but not horizontally, vertically.
Sometimes we have to repeat what we did the week before, and I can take up a whole class. That's what happens. No, look, we spent a lot of time on halachas of Orla this Shabbos. We talk about it last Shabbos.
Yeah. But the idea is, we come out, we actually try once in a while. We try to know something, you know. And sometimes it works, you know. At least for me, at least. You know, some, I hope somebody else too.
Very cool.
All right, have a good, healthy,
yeah,
happy year.
Four years. No, even more. 5 years.
That's right. It. Halfway, not bad. Huh? It's, yeah, a shame. It's, yeah.
Right, we'll get there.
It's okay. Remember, it's the process. It's not the conclusion. All right, everyone, have a good Gvensior.